Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 14 lines from the top of the Omid. You'll notice two dots toward the end of the line. Tonu Rabbanan, ein oimdim lehispalel, lo mitoch din, velo mitoch dvar halocha, elo mitoch halocha psuka. One should not start his Shmona Esrei unless he is of a concentration ability. In other words, not mitoch din, he shouldn't start davening as a result of coming off of, let's say, some type of legal case, some type of argument, and not through some type of discussion about halacha, which could go in several different directions. Elo mitoch halacha psuka, rather, he should start the Shemoneh Esrei coming from having dealt with a confirmed, certain type of halachic ruling. Something that doesn't require investigation and analysis, because if otherwise, so he will be preoccupied with whatever he was involved with before the davening and not be able to concentrate. V'heichi domi halacha psuka, what is an example or what are examples of halacha psuka? So you'll notice to the immediate margin of our Gemara, the Nosei Mivne heading is with featuring a diamond. These are deos al mahu halacha psuka. Different opinions as to what that may be. So as we go on in the Gemara, we will be touching on areas of halacha that represent themselves entire discussions, areas of discussion, which we are not going to delve into in the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, because these topics will be discussed each one in their respective locations when we get to those Gemaras. However, we will try to explain these through the Rashi. So the first of the suggestions of halacha psuka of definitive halachic rulings, Omar Abai kiha de Rabbi Zera, like that of Rabbi Zera, the Omar Rabbi Zera, Benois Yisrael hechmiru atzman, Jewish women have adopted a personal stringency, shafilu rois tipas dam kechadol, even if they notice a speck of blood on a checking cloth, on a female-related checking cloth, that's the size of a chardol, which is like a mustard seed, something that's basically a speck of red, yosheves olav shiva nikim, they will observe the rule of 7 clean days after having noticed that spot. So this is a stringency because the idea of having to observe 7 clean days from a Torah perspective applies it to a Zava. This is a woman that had 3 days of consecutive blood sighting outside of her Nidah period, which generates the need for a 7-day clean period. And here we're talking about a one-time sighting of a red speck of blood. Hence, we term this a stringency, but it is something that all Jewish women have accepted upon themselves, and hence it's considered a halacha psuka, not something that there is discussion or controversy over. Rava, Omar, Rava is a second suggestion of what a halacha psuka might be. Kiha de Rav Hoshaya, similar to, or based on Rav Hoshaya's teaching, or the Omar Rav Hoshaya, Marim Odom Al Tfu Asoi, Umachniso Bemoit Shela, Kadeshite Behemto Yocheles Uptura Mena Meiser. To appreciate this, first of all, we'll say that it has to do with the realm of tithing, agricultural or produce tithing. To appreciate this, we recommend looking together at the Rashi, so let us do this. Rashi says, the Gemara mentioned that he's machnis, so he brings the grains into his house, the tvu are the grains. The Gemara's term ma'arim is a circumvention of the halacha. In other words, one can circumvent the need for tithing on a Torah level by bringing in one's grains to one's house when they are still in the raw state before the removal of the grain husks took place. So the Rashi says, before he does the zore, which is the one of the stages in separating the chaff from the grain. So the Rashi goes on to say, if he brings the grains into his house before Zeria was done, she'ein mischayev b'maisim min haTorah el brias pnei abayis u'mishenimrach bekri. Grains don't become obligated for on a Torah level for tithing unless they entered the house after miruach took place. Miruach is a stage in the preparation of the grain after the stubble and chaff has been removed and the pile of grain has been smoothed out. Avolifnei miruach, before this, if you bring grains into your house before this miruach stage took place, ein rias pnei abayis koivoso, the entrance to the house does not establish its need for tithing. Degabi truma maisik siv dogon. The word dogon appears in the Torah when the Torah says reishis degoncha. And the term dogon, behu hamiruach, that's that stage that we just alluded to before, after the chaff has been removed and the pile of grain has been smoothed out. Lefikoch kishemachniso lebayis koidem miruach, if he brings the grains into his house before the miruach has taken place, lo huk be'ah lemaiser min haTorah, doesn't become established as needing tithing from a Torah level. For Rabbanon Hu, the Osru Achilas Keva, Bedover Shalonig Marmalachto, there is a rabbinic restriction concerning the consumption of grains before they reach this Gemar Malocha stage, literally the final stage. It's a final stage as far as preparation of the grain is concerned, before it's ground and turned into flour. But as far as the grain itself is concerned, it's called a Gemar Malocha. And hence, the Rabbanan prohibit the Achilas Keva, a formal consumption for Keva means an established big meal of this material. So they answer, they prohibit the Achilas Keva before Gemar Malocha, Avol Achilas Lo Asru, but a temporary or happenstance type consumption they don't prohibit. Umaychol Behema Aroihu. The animal, using the grain as animal feed, is categorized as achilas aroi. Desnan v'seches peyam aichol odem chayav v'hoif ad shimrach. Hilkoch behemto achels p'tura. Avul yu osro achilas keva. The animal is allowed to eat from it, but the person is not. But for our purposes, without delving any further into this realm, suffice it to say that if a person brings grains before this stage of grain preparation, there is an allowance for one's animal to eat from the grains without having to tithe from it. That's considered a halacha psuka. Number three, Viboyesema, we continue in the Gemara, the third diamond, Kiha de Rav Huna, along the lines of Rav Huna, the Omar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Zeira, Hamekiz Dam Bebehemas Kachim, Osir Bano, Umoyal Inbo, one who bloodlets an animal that was dedicated as a temple dedication, behemas kochim, something dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. If one bloodlets that animal, and so what he's done is he's extracted blood from the animal, albeit for the animal's benefit, but that blood is forbidden to benefit from. After all, it's coming from a creature that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, hence imposing upon it a level of holiness. And the personal benefit that one would receive from that would be called me'ila, and that carries with it its respective penalties. And that's what the term u'mo'alin bo means. So up till now, we have dealt with how one should get himself ready for Shmona Esrei, and the suggestion in this Tanaic source was by perusing or studying a halacha psuka before davening. The Gemara continues, Rabbonon Avdi Kirbas Nisin, Rav Ashi Ovid Kibraisa. the Rabbonon means the colleagues of Rav Ashi, they would practice, or their preparation for Shmon Esrei, like our Mishnah, which would mean, as Rashi says, mitoch kovid rosh, get themselves into a psychological state of mind, a serious state of mind. And Rav Ashi would practice like the Braisa, which was mitoch halocha psuka, like the examples we just saw. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a source that continues with this topic. The source on the topic heading that we've assigned to this section of Gemara is Be'eze Matzev Ruach Yesh L'Spal. What state of mind should one enter before he starts his davening, his Shemona Esrei? Tana Rabbanan Ein Oimdim L'Spalel. And here was a long list of things of what one should avoid. Lo Mitoch Atzvus, not from a state of sadness or melancholy. V'lo Mitoch Atzlus, nor in a state of laziness. V'lo Mitoch Schok, nor from a state of laughter, v'lo mitoch sicha, not from a situation of gabbing, of common conversation, v'lo mitoch kalus rosh, nor from a state of levity, lightheadedness, v'lo mitoch dvorim betalim, nor from having been involved with emptiness, elo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, but rather from having performed or been involved with a mitzvah. The Rashi says right across from here, Elo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah kagon divrei tanchumen shel Torah, kagon something of a calming Torah nature, something like kagon samuch legulas Mitzrayim. In Shacharis, we enter the Shmon Esrei from having mentioned our exodus from Egypt, which Rashi is explaining this is what Simcha Shel Mitzvah would mean. The Tehillah LeDavid is a reference to the paragraph that we read in Mincha before Shemon Esrei that we refer to as Ashrei, in which you find praise and words of solace. Kagon, Ritzoin Yireyav Yaseh, the will of his fearers will the Lord perform. And Shomer Hashem is Kol Avov, and the Almighty watches over all that love Him. Kugon Mikros Hasduros Betfilas Arvis Kilo Yitosh Hashem Esamoy V'Chayotzibuen, and like the psukim that many recite in Arvis before starting the Shmona Esrei. This is what Rashi explains in defining Simcha Shel Mitzvah of the Gemara. Similarly, when a person is departing from his friend, in other words, two people have been together and now they're parting ways, each one to their own respective destination, the same list appears here. He should not depart lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalis rosh, lo mitoch tvorim betalim, elo mitoch dvar halocha. Shekein motzinu b'neviim horishonim. We find in the words of the early prophets, Shesimu Divrayim B'Divrei Shevach V'Tanchumin, that when they concluded their words, they did so with words of praise and consolation. Tana Mori Bar Brei D'Ravuna Brei D'Rav Yirmiyo Bar Abba Al Yiftar Odom Mechavera Olimitoch Dvar Halacha Shemitoch Kach Zochreu. When parting from your friend, you should do so with a word of halacha. Through that, he will remember you. Now, this term, word of halacha, is something that might require a more expansive definition than a mere translation, and in order to achieve that, let us see what the Gemara describes as such, because here the Gemara is explaining ki ha is a term explaining that which we just learned. So ki ha de Rav Kahana, alvei de Rav Simi Bar Ashi, a story involved Rav Kahana accompanying Rav Simi Bar Ashi, mipum nara ad beit sanisa de Bavel. These are two places, from Pumnara till Beit Sanisa of Bavel. Kimata Lahosam, when he got there, Amar Le, he said to him, Mor Vadai Damri Inchi, it's certain that what people say, Hanit Sanisa de Bavel, Isnu Me Odom Rishon Viad Hashta. These are certainly the palms of Babylonia that have been here from Odom HaRishon until now. Whether or not it's a reference to actual palms that are that old, that is questionable, because we'll see as the Gemara goes on what might be referred to. So Omar Lay, so the other said to him, the other one said to his friend, Ad Kartan Milsa the Rabbi Yosi Reb Chinyana, you just reminded me what Rabbi Yosi Reb Chinyana says. In other words, you just said that people say these are the palms from Odom HaRishon. What that means is as follows: the Omar Rabbi Yosi Reb Chinyana, my dichti v'eretz shelo avar bo ish v'lo yoshav Odom Sham. That is a pasuk, which says a land in which no one passed and no one dwelled there. Well, the wording of this raises a question. If no one passed through, how would you even think that someone would dwell there? Rather, the pasuk is telling us, Kol eretz shegazer aleha Odom HaRishon liyishuv nisyashva, v'chol eretz shelo gazer aleha Odom HaRishon liyishuv lo nisyashva. Any area that Odom HaRishon, who was the first man and shown the world over, if he ruled that a particular location, particular geographic location shall be settled, so it would be settled. And any area that he ruled would not be settled, would not be settled. So now we look in Rashi to tie all ends together. Ad karton milsa v'zeh sha'oimrim, that which people say, mimois Odom HaRishon heim, that these palms, you mentioned that people say these palms are from the time of Odom HaRishon, it's Shehu Gozar al Oisimokal Yishuv the Kolam. He ruled that the area shall be an area of palm growth. And not necessarily that these trees are that old that they grew from the time of Odom HaRishon, but rather he declared that the area that shall have palms in it. Another incident of two, one accompanying the other, Rav Mordechai Alvi, the Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Me Hegronia, Viad Bei Kifi. Rav Mordechai accompanied Rav Simi from Hegronia until Bei Kifi, Amrila, Ad Bei Dura. Other versions of this incident say that he accompanied him until Bei Dura, another place. The Gemara doesn't elaborate on that, but certainly there is a halachic expectation that if someone is visiting you, that you accompany him from where you are to a point of departure. This is featured in Maseches Soita, where one can see more about this topic, about the necessity of accompanying someone out of town. Tonu Rabbanan. We continue more with this topic of state of mind and readiness for tefillah, hamispalel, so shichavein eslibo l'shamayim. One should concentrate on heavenly matters. Abba Shol Oimer, simen ledavar, to evidence of this or proof of this is a pasuk which says, tochin libam takshiv oznecha. The word tochin indicates hachona, preparation. If one prepares himself, then he will be heard. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Kachoya Minhogesh Rabbi Akiva, Kshem Espalel Imatzibur Mekatzev Oilem Neitorach Tzibur. The practice of Rabbi Akiva was that when he was davening in a communal, public setting, and Rabbi Akiva was a great man, he would hasten, he would daven quickly, so as not to create a situation where everyone would be waiting for him, as is the common practice when a significant figure is present in a communal davening, and there's going to be the repeat of the Shmon Esrei after the silent Shmon Esrei is finished. So the practice is to wait for the leading member of the assembly to finish his private or his quiet personal Shmon Esrei before the Chazoras Hashatz takes place, and Rabbi Akiva was aware of that possibility, and hence he would not want to cause the public to delay or wait for him, so he davened quickly. However, when he was davening privately, one would find him start his davening in one corner of the room, and eventually he would end up in another corner of the room. Apparently, a very energetic, concentrated type of davening. How did that take place? How could he start in one corner? Shemone Esrei is not a time that you pace back and forth or walk around. How could that possibly be? So the Gemara says, Mipnei Krios Vishtachavos, because of his his bowing that took place, that and the energy that he invested in that would automatically move. Could very well be that his legs remained together, but because of this concentration and energy that he invested in his Shemone Esrei, this caused his transforming of location. Omar Reb Chiya Ba'aba, Le'olu Mispal Odom Bebayis Sheyesh Bo Chalonos. Here we continue with halachas that pertain to Shemone Esrei, and on the side of the Gemara Dar Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated that the double underline that will follow, and there are quite a few of these. You'll see these the special double underline is halach hilchis tefila shenilmedu mi sefer Daniel upsukim achirim. These are halachas regarding Shemone Esrei that we learn from the book of Daniel and other psukim as well. So the Reb Chiya Ba'aba tells us la'ol mispal adam bebayis sheyesh bo chalonos. A person should daven in a house that has windows. Shenemar, here's a pasuk with an Aramaic, v'chavin psichin le, chavin are windows. Windows are open. Could it be that a person is expected to daven all day? So the answer to that is kfar mufurush al yedei Daniel. Daniel already explained v'zimnin tlosa, three times a day. Yochol mishabola goyla huchla. Could it be that Daniel, who was a Jewish leader in the Babylonian exile, so the Gemara is asking, could it be that this practice of davening three times a day started when they entered the diaspora, the exile, and beforehand they did not pray three times a day? So the answer to that is Kfar Nemar. It already says di hu avad min kadmis na. Daniel's prayer three times a day is something that he had practiced even before, namely before the exile. Could it be that a person can face any direction that he wants and daven? So to that, the pasuk says, "Neged Yerushalayim, facing Jerusalem." Could it be that the three times a day he can daven in one right after the other, in other words, in a block form? So to this we answer, "Kvar Mufurish Ayvei David." Here's a pasuk, not from the book of Daniel, but from Tehillim. It says, Erev Vavoykev et Tzorayim, three different times of day. Yochel Yashmiel Kol B'Tfilas, could one have his tefillah, his Shemone Esrei, audible to others? Kvar Mufurish Ayvei Chana. So there's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Shmuel regarding the mother of the prophet Shmuel. Her name was Chana. Shenema v'kolo lo yishomea. Her voice was not audible. Yochel yishal odom tzrochav achakach yispal. In terms of the formulation of Shemone Esrei, could it be that one would ask for his personal needs and then say words of praise? So, and as far as structure, kavar mufur shedei shlomo. Shenemar pasuk in Sefer Melachim says l'shmuel orina velatvila. Rina zu tfila. This is a bit ironic, but the word rina in this pasuk is tfila. Tfila means words of praise, and tfila in the pasuk zu bakosha means, for us, it means requests. So therefore, you notice that the structure of the Shemone Esrei has three opening blessings that are of a praise nature to the Almighty, and only after Hokel HaKadosh do we start personal requests, ato chonim lo dom das, etc., where we request wisdom and closeness to Torah and forgiveness and good health and prosperity, etc. Ein oimer dovor achar emes viatziv. This means that after one finishes the Birkas Kriyashma, Emes V'yatziv being in the Shachris, the solitary bracha that follows the Kriya Shema, one should not say anything after it before starting the Shmona Esrei, but go lead right into the Shmona Esrei after Goal Yisrael, which closes Emes V'yatziv. Avol, Achar HaTfila, however, after one Shmona Esrei, Afilu Keseder Vidui Sheyom HaKippurim, Omer, one can add, even something as long as the Yom Kippur confessional, which is known as a long passage. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Afa Pi Shomru Shoya Odom Tzorcha V'Shemei HaTfila, even though there is a possibility of a person requesting additional personal needs, personal requests in the Shomea Tfilo Brocha, Im Boaloma Achat Tfilo Sarfil Keseda Shomei Kippurim Omer, if he should want to add a personal requests that may in fact be very lengthy, he can do so, even if they're as long as the confessional of Yom Kippur. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Kama Hichse Gavar Vosa, Ikal the Mishma Mehani Kroy the Chana. How many major halachas one can learn from psukim featuring the story of Chana praying in the Beis Hamikdash for a child? Chana was the mother of Shmuel Navi, but prior to his birth, she was childless for many years. On the margins of our Gemara, so we have noted, Nosei Klali, that means Ad Sof Omid Beis, until the end of Omid Beis of our Gemara, that's for the balance of our Shir, we will be dealing with Tfilas Chana, her prayer. And we'll be using underlines to highlight the phrases of the Psukim that will be analyzed. In addition to that, there will be triangles around the Hilchis Tfila, the Oid, and other things, Shenilmedu Mechana, the mother of Shmuel. So we now continue. V'chano hi medaberes al libo. Pasuk says that she was speaking on her heart, literally. What does that mean? Mikan l'sval tzor shi'chavin libo. This could very well have been an additional source for information that we've learned before. In fact, we had a reference to the need for preparing oneself before davening, getting into the right concentration mode. And so we saw this in a Tanaic source a few lines up where the Bryce said, HaMisfal Tzor Shichavin Libo L'Shamayim, and Abba Shaul said, you can learn that from the Pasuk, Tochin Libo and Takshiv Oznecha. This would seem to be an alternative source for that, that from here we learn that a person should concentrate before davening. The Pasuk says, Rax Foseha No'ois, just her lips moved. Mikan lemisval sheyachtuch b'svasov. That from here we learn that a person should articulate his words, in other words, with his lips, as opposed to sight reading. The kolo lo yishomea. Her voice was not audible. Mikan sheoslo agbiyo kolo b'svasov. From here we learn that a person is not allowed to raise his voice when davening. Vayachshevel Eli l'shikor. Eli was the name of the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, at that time. He thought her to be inebriated. Mikan sheshikor osur l'spala. From here we learn that someone who in fact is inebriated is forbidden to pray. Vayomer Elo Eli ad mosai tishtakrin hasiri es yeinech me olayech. Eli turned to Chana and said, how long are you going to remain intoxicated? Rid yourself of the wine influence. Amar Abelazar Mikan, from this we learn, from the fact that Eli turned to her and criticized her, was Mikan the Roya B'Chavero. We continue at the top of Amid Beis. Dovor She'enoi Hogan. If someone sees improper behavior on his friend, Tzorech Lochicha, he has to admonish him. Vatan Chana Vatomer Lo Adoni. Chana responded to him and said, no, sir. Omar Ulo Vitemer Rav Yosi B'Chanino. Ulo, or some say Rav Yosi B'Chanino, Omro Le Lo Adoin Ato B'Dover Zeh. You are not a master of this matter. V'lo Ruach HaKodesh Shor Olecha. And it's evident that the Holy the divine inspiration or Holy Spirit is not dwelling upon you, if this is what you are criticizing me of, Shata Chujdani Bedovarzeh, that you suspect me of this, of being intoxicated. Iko Diamri, another version of this is Hochi Omra Lei. Thusly, she said to him, Lo Adon Ato, Lav Iko Shechina Ruach HaKodesh Gaboch. You are obviously not someone that has the divine presence nor holy inspiration upon you. Shedan tani lekaf chova v'lo datani lekaf schus. You judged me as guilty and not judged me as innocent. Mi lo yadis, do you not know the ishok shasuach onochi v'ayim v'shecho lo shosisi, that I am a woman who is bitter and I have not imbibed any intoxicating beverages, be it wine or beer? Omar Rabbi Elozer, mikan, from this we see lenechshad b'davar she'ein bo shetzorach lo dio, someone who is suspected of being guilty of something, and in fact he is innocent, shetzorach lo dio, that he has to inform them. We see that she was suspected of being inebriated. She responded. So this give and take demonstrates this particular halacha. If you are suspect of being guilty of something, you must respond to clear yourself. Al titein es amoscho lifnei bas plial. Don't consider me a bas plial. Well, the Gemara will explain this. Amar Rabbi Elozer, mikan l'shikor shemispal ki'ilu oivet avodazor. From here we see that someone who is inebriated, that prays, he is considered as if worshipping an idol, as if he's practicing idolatry. The bracketed section proves that point. After the brackets, the Gemara picks up with more halachas. That having been said, we do the brackets. Ksiv hocha lefnei bas plial. Here the term bas plial was mentioned. Ksiv hosam, in the context of idolatry, it says yotzu anoshim b'nei blial mikirbecha. That's in Dvorim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalid. Ma lahalan avodazor, just like over there in Dvorim Yud Gimel, it's a reference to idolatry. Af kan avodazor, so too, with regard to our topic here of Hannah, her davening, and what she said, is tantamount to idolatry. In other words, one who would daven in a state of intoxication would be considered idolatrous. Vayan Eli Vayomer Lechila Shalom. Omar Rebelozer, Mikan, from this that Eli said to go in peace, we learn if one suspects his friend of something that he is not guilty of, he has to appease him and must also bless him. So you see that he Eli addressed her in an appeasing fashion and blessed her as well. Vatirid vatido neder vatomer Hashem tzivokis. Omar Rebbe Elozer, miyom shebora Hakadosh Baruch Hu seilamoi lohoya odom shekoro Hashem tzivokis ad shebosu chana v'koroi tzivokos. That from creation till this time of Chana, there was no one that addressed the Almighty using this term tzivokis, which is a term that in English, for whatever it's worth, is translated as the Lord of Hosts. This term, as many as all the different names of the Almighty, signify different attributes. So this particular attribute and what it contains was not used or featured by anybody until Chana. Omro Chana lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the term the Lord of Hosts, or Tzivokos, will gain greater meaning as we go on with the Gemara, where she spells out what her intentions are. So we have, she speaks now, Omro Chana lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she says to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mikol Tzivoy Tzivoy Shebrosa Bo'olamcha, from all the different creations that you made in your world, stars, constellations, galaxies, all these different forces that you created in your world. Is it so difficult for you to give me one child? This can be an analogy made to a mortal king who made a feast for his servants. A poor man came and stood by the entranceway. Omar Lohem, the impoverished man, said, "Tenu li pruso achas, give me one piece, one slice of bread." Velo ishgichu alav, and no one paid attention. Dochak v'nichnas etzel hamelech. So the impoverished one pushed his way into the king. Omar le Adoni hamelech. He says to the king, your highness, mikol sudish shasisa, from the entire banquet that you've made, koshi benech litein liprusa achas, is it so difficult for you to present me with one slice of bread? Im ro'oi tir'eh, omar Rebbe Elazar, mikan, omar Rebbe Elazar, omar chano fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribonu shel olam, im ro'o mutav, if you see me and grant me my request, then good. V'imlav tireh, and if not, so then you'll see. What is her threat, so to speak? So she says, Eilech v'estater b'fnei Elkanah bali, I will go, and as a married woman, it's forbidden for her to be with other men. There is a parsha known as Parsha Sota. This is the married woman suspected of being with another man. And if there is a warning beforehand and witnesses testify that she was in private with another man, so she is called a sota, and there's a procedure whereby she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash and a special portion of the Torah is prepared and scratched off over water. It's erased over water. She drinks it, and if she's guilty, so she will die. And if she's guilty of actual forbidden intimacy, and if she's innocent, so she will be deserving of a blessing. So she says to the Almighty, if you don't grant my request, so I will put you in the corner, so to speak. Eilech ve'estater. Estater means I will go in hiding. Bifnei Elkanah bali. Hiding meaning in privacy with another man. In the face of my husband, the kevon de mestatarno, and when I actually go into this state of, which we call in halacha, we refer to this as yichud, in a state of privacy with another man, then I'll be declared a sota, mashkuli me sota, that will give me to drink the sota water, the e ata oisa taroscha plaster, and you're not going to allow your Torah to be a fake, to be a lie. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'niksov v'nizra zera, that the sota woman who is found to be innocent will then produce seed. In other words, she'll then bear children. The analysis, the interpretation of the pasuk that we just gave is really the subject of a controversy. So the Gemara says, "Honicha lemandomer im hoisa akora nifkedes shapir." This works out according to the approach that says that a woman who was barren, a woman who is suspected of being a sota, who happened to be barren, will now give birth, will now bear children. Then this explanation and Chano's behavior will make sense. There's a bracketed section. If we skip it momentarily, ma'im ro'o tir'eh. What does this double expression mean? If you say that the v'nikso nizra zera doesn't mean that a barren woman will now produce children, but rather, as we just read, that the woman will be blessed, but all it means is if she had in the past given birth bitzar with pain, so Yoledes Berevach, she'll give birth relatively painlessly. If she was giving birth to females, she'll give birth to males. If they were gray or dark or poor complexion, shchurim literally is black, it's a sign of lack of unhealthy complexion, she'll give birth to children of a healthy white complexion. Ktsarim, if they were dwarf-like or short, Sheliyaletis Arukim, she gave to taller, better height children. So then, my ikolomemar, what are we going to say? Well, now we have this bracketed section that we skipped. In the brackets, we have the background for the controversy that we just mentioned. The Sanyo. So the bracketed section, the Sanyo. The Nixo Venizra Zera. This is the pasuk by the Sota, the suspected woman of immorality. Malame, this teaches us, Shim Hoy Sakura Nifkedis, Divrei Bishmoel. If she had been a barren woman, and now, after going through the Sota procedure in the Beis Hamikdash, and found to be innocent, she will be Nifkedis. She will bear children. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Again, darshaning the pasuk of Vinixo Venizra Zera. Omar Lei Rabbi Akiva. In Cain, if as you explain, then Yehu Kola Koros Kulan Vistatru, Vizu Shalok Hilkolo Nifkedis. Well, you're setting up a negative situation that all barren women will then put themselves into this stira position, which, by the way, is forbidden. It is forbidden for a woman to be in private with another man, unless it's a married woman with her own husband. But outside of that, for a woman to be bestira in privacy with another man is forbidden. But because the prize is so big, namely barrenness will be relieved by childbirth, that's what they will do. And the Zusha lo kilkula, and she who in fact was not engaged in forbidden intimacy, Nifkedis will then bear children. Ella, and being that that's unlikely that the Torah would make such a provision, setting up a situation where based on actual forbidden behavior, their problem will be solved. Therefore, that's probably not the approach to take. Elo malamet shim hois yoledes bitzar yoledes berevach. Ktsorim yoledes arukim, shchurim yoledes levonim, echod yoledes shnayim. If she was giving birth to single births, she'll then have twin births. So, according to this approach, my im ro'oi tireh, according to the Rebbe Kiv approach, what does this double expression mean? Answer, Dibro Toro Kiloshin Bnei Adam. The doubling of the word Ro'otira doesn't signify some additional drusha that's necessary, because the Torah speaks as people speak, in the sense that many times people double their expressions for emphasis purposes, and that's what Chana was doing. Be'oni Amosecha Al Tishkach Es Amosecha V'nosata L'amoscha. This is Pasuk Yud Aleph there in Sefer Shmuel. The word Amosecha appears three times. Om Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanino, Gimel Amosos Halolu Lama. The word Amoscha literally is a bondmaid, a servant. What does it mean here? And it will point out that there's a play on the word Amosecha using the word Misa, death, as its root. So the three references to death, what is the purpose? She turns to Almighty and says, Shlosha bidke misa brosa beisha. You created three bidke misa. Bidke has to do with checking out, that a woman is checked out when she is in a time of danger. Did she violate any one of these three things that will lead to her being punished by death? The Amrila, another version of this is Shlosha Divke Misa. Divke, something that sticks unto her. But I believe the same idea is in order. The Elohim, what are these three things, three halachas that could lead to a woman's death if she is in violation of them and she happens to be at a time of danger? They are Ve'elohe Nida, V'chala, V'adloka Saner. The observance of the Nida rules, the laws of a woman when she's in a state of uncleanness as a result of menstruation. Chala is the expectation of a woman who's generally the one, even though it's not limited to women, but she's the one that generally is baking bread and the preparing dough. There's the chala is the dough tithe given to Kohanim, And Hadlokas Ner, the lighting of candles that one does before Shabbos. So these three practices are three averos that if the woman doesn't observe them, there are three averos that would cause a woman to die as if she's in a state of sakona. So Chana says, Klum avarti al achas mehem, have I violated any of these? That's what the three words amosucha refer to in the pasuk. As we said, being darshaned as referring to misa. The pasuk says, "V'nasata l'amoscha zera anoshim, my zera anoshim, she shall give unto your bondmaid that zera anoshim." What is meant by that? So there are different explanations in the Gemara for this. Omar Rav, Rav is the first approach. Gavro beguvrin. Rashi Tosfos says, "Gavro beguvrin piush odom shechoshuv limonos bein anoshim." A son, a child that is important, worthy of being counted or appointed amongst men. Number two, Shmuel Amar, Zera Shemosheich, Shemosheach Shnei Anoshim, a child, a seed that will anoint two men. Again, we're dealing with the expression Zera Anoshim. So she's talking here about a seed, the child that will anoint two men, Uma Ninun, and who are those two? Shaul V'David. As we know, she was speaking prophetically that she had a son that in fact anointed as kings, Shaul and then David. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Zera Sheshokul Kishne Anoshim, a son that's equal to two great men. Uman Inun, who are the two great men that Shmuel, her son, will be equal to? Moshe V'Aaron. Shnema, the Pasuk says, Moshe V'Aaron B'choyanov, U'Shmuel B'korei Shemoi. So that you see that you have, in this Pasuk, Shmuel is balanced against, balanced with Moshe and Aaron. V'Rabbonon Amri, Zera Anoshim, Zera Shemuvlo Bein Anoshim. And Kios Ravdimi explains what they meant, that literally a man, a child that's absorbed amongst men. So Ravdimi says, Kios Ravdimi Omar lo aruch velo gutz, not too tall, not too short, velo koton velo olam, not too thin, not too fat, velo tzochor velo gichor, and not of these different complexions, tzochor and gichor, two different types of extreme complexion. Velo chacham velo ptipesh, and not someone that's unusually of genius quality, because or someone not foolish. Rashi says that lo chacham is a very interesting prayer, that he shouldn't be too chacham. What is meant by that? So Rashi says velo chacham yoyser midai, not too extraordinarily genius. Shaloya temo b'enei abrios, he shouldn't be someone that causes amazement in the eyes of the public. Umitoch shin nidborin bo sholetes bo ayin hara, because he becomes the subject of people's conversations, so then the eye of jealousy will set upon him and cause harm. The Gemara continues, Ani ho'isha hanitzeves imcha bozeh. This is again Chana and her Chana talking to Eli. Omer Abishua ben Levi, Mikan she'osu leishev besoich arva amois shel tfila. The Tosfos has an interesting comment here. Imcha mashma besoch arba amois. The halacha learned from this is that one should not be within four amos of someone who is davening. Mishum dichtiv imcha molei behei. The word imcha is spelled with a hey at the end. Klomar shelo hoyo yoshev besoch arba amos shelo ki im b'chamishis. He was not seated within her four amos, but rather at a fifth. The hey is a letter corresponding to the number five, so that Eli was seated in her within five amos, but not within four amos of Chana when she was davening. The Gemara continues, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. In order to appreciate this, the Gemara gives a background, and with our markings, we call this section a long point. You can see the nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Shmuel mer halacha lifnei rabo hoya. Shmuel was guilty of issuing a halachic or legal ruling in the presence of his master. In other words, a student has to contain himself and not issue legal rulings in the presence of his teacher, of the one who taught him Torah. And here the Gemara says that Shmuel was guilty of that, and now the background. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vayishchatu es hapar v'yaviu es hanar el eli. So the what does this mean? Mishum de vayishchatu es hapar, because they slaughtered a cow, heviu hanar el eli, they brought, the nar is a reference to Shmuel, who was very young at that time, they brought him to Eli. What's going on? Elo omar lohen eli. Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at that time, had said, "Kiru Kohen Leisim Lishkut," call a Kohen in order to come and to slaughter the sacrifice. Chazinu Shmuel Davu Mahadri Boser Kohen Lemishchat. Shmuel, who was, as we say, very young, he noticed they were seeking out a Kohen for doing the slaughtering. The slaughtering is the first stage in the offering of a sacrifice. Omar Luhu, Lama Luhu Laduri Boser Kohen Lemishchat. Why are you seeking out specifically a Kohen for the Shechita? Shechita is Bezar Kshira. Shmuel said it is allowed, it is permissible for a non-Azar, as a non-Kohen, to do the Shechita. That stage of sacrificial offering is allowed with a non-Kohen, even though subsequent stages cannot be done by a non-Kohen. The Shechita is allowed to be done with a non-Kohen. Aisuhu lekame de Eli. They brought Shmuel, to Eli. Omar le menolacha. So Eli asks, where do you know that from? Where do you know that a zar is acceptable for the shechita stage? Omar le, Shmuel answers, miksi v'shochad hakohen. Does the pasuk say that a kohen shall do the shechita? The hikrivo hakohen ksiv. The pasuk says that the kohen shall do the hakrova, which means mikabola the elich mitzvah kuna, from the receipt of the blood. In other words, after the animal's throat is cut through shechita, then the kohen enters the picture for receiving the blood of the animal. Mikan, from here we see the shechita shekshera bazar. Amalei, Shmuel Eli answers, says back, mei mashapit kramas, you say, well, miu, however, unfortunately, moira halacha b'fnei rabcha'at, you are issuing a halachic ruling in your master's presence and in my presence. This is a grievous crime, worthy of death. So, this having been said, you have this young Shmuel that now is hovering above him the death penalty. And we're not talking about necessarily court execution, but nevertheless, it's a serious crime that is described as chayav misa, which means that the Almighty can take his life when he should desire as a result of this. As Yochana v'chotzav tamei, as Hana came, and Tzavcha, she screamed, she cried out, Ani ho'isha hanitzeves imcha bozeh, v'chulei. We saw this pasuk quoted just above. I am the woman that came, basically. I came to pray, and this is the child that was born from all of my intense prayers. Omar lo, so Eli says, Shavki li di anshe, leave me be that I shall punish him. Uvo'ino rachmi, v'yahaviloch rabo mine, and I will then pray for you to have a replacement child, even greater, even better than this one. Omrole, so Hannah's response was, El hanar hazeh his palati. And this is the pasuk that we opened up with our long point, which ends over here, to show what she meant when she said, "I prayed for this child." And very simply, she's not interested in Shmuel dying and then her receiving a replacement child, because it's for this one, for Shmuel, that she prayed and got, and she doesn't want him to die. Another pasuk from Chana, Omar Rebbe Lozer, Mishum Rebbe Yosi ben Zimra, al iskei libo, regarding her heart. What does that mean? Omra lefonov, she said to the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam, Almighty, kol ma sheborasa, bo isha lo brasa, dover echa levatola. everything that you created in a woman, nothing was created for no purpose. In other words, everything has a purpose. Einayim liros, eyes to see, oznayim lishmoa, ears with which to hear, choytim liriach, a nose to pick up smell, peh ledaber, a mouth to speak with, yodayim lasis ben melocha, hands for constructive activity, raglayim lach behen, feet for walking, dodim lonik behen, and breasts to nurse. Dodim halolush nosato al libi, the breasts that you gave me that sit up anatomically above my heart. Loma, why did you create them? Lo lohaniyok bahen, is it not for nursing? Tain li ben, vahanik bahen, give me a son, a child, that I shall be able to nurse him. The Omar Rabbi Lozer Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, kol yoshev betainis b'shabes korin lo gzar dino shel shivim shana. At this point, the Gemara now goes on with other comments made by Rebbe Elazar. Up till now, we have seen Rebbe Elazar cited, and the Gemara goes on with more of his comments. Not necessarily, we'll see shortly another reference to Chana, but here it's more of a list of things that Rebbe Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, says. We saw him quoted just a few lines above when he said, Al iske libo. So another comment of his, and that is called Yoshi Betan Shabbos, someone who observes a fast on Shabbos. Korin lo gzardino shel shivim shana. If he had a decree of punishment, an evil decree over him, it will be torn up. The afal pikein choizin v'nifroin mimeno din oinik Shabbos. But because he fasted on Shabbos, which in and of itself is sinful, he will be punished for that. Now we should point out this idea of observing a fast on Shabbos. So Tosfos quotes pirush rach betainis chaloyim, someone who because of had a dream that caused him great consternation. Therefore, the solution for that is observing a fast, even if it happens to be on Shabbos. So, that's fine that he observed the fast, and that has repentance-related power, that whereby the person's whatever was causing as the Gemara terms it, the gzar din, the evil decree that may have hovered over this individual is now reversed. Nevertheless, he still has to pay, so to speak, for his having fasted and thereby did not enjoy Shabbos, which the din oinig Shabbos dictates. Maita kante, so Gemara says, well, what's the solution? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok leisiv tanisa letanisa, he shall observe another day of fasting for his having fasted on Shabbos. The Omar Rebbe Elazar, Chana hiticha dvarim klapei mala. You'll notice we have a double underline here, and under our structural note, the Mivneh, we have featured a double underline. Anoshim shetichu dvarim klapei mala. A series of people that prayed in a very forceful fashion. They cast their words heavenwards, but cast in a forceful fashion. Which, in general, is not a proper way to daven. However, if someone is of an extremely pious nature, so then, in fact, they did that and were answered. So, Chana is one of those. Chana hiticha dvorim klapei mala, shenemar, vatispalel al Hashem. Melamed shiticha dvorim klapei mala. The expression al Hashem indicates that she spoke very forcefully. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klapei mala. Eliyahu was also, guilty of this or did this forceful type prayer. Shenemar va'ata hasiboses libon acharon. As he talked to the Ribbono Shel, he says, "You are the one that caused their hearts to turn away." Now we have a bracketed section that continues down the next few lines of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, following which you have another example. You can see Moshe Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala, which will occupy the Gemara quite a few lines after that. So In the meantime, we'll learn till that point in the Gemara, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir. So Eliyahu Hanavi, he was matir klapi mala by saying this: You caused them to go wayward. Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchok, minayin shechazer Kodesh Baruch Hu v'hoyil Eliyahu. From where do we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu in fact conceded to Eliyahu that the reason for the people going astray was because of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's intervention or his causing them? Dichtiv v'asher haraosi, I caused them to become ra, to become bad. And the Rashi at the top says, in the middle of the line where you can see we've dashed underlined, it says, Ani goramti lohem, I caused them to sin, sheborosi yetzar, because I also created the evil inclination. Omar Rabbi Chamo Barabbi Chanino, ilmole sholosh mikros halalu, if not for the following three psukim, nismoititu raglem shel sonei Yisrael. This is a euphemism when it says sonei Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, means Israel itself. Israel would have no legs to stand on. We'd have no chance. In other words, we have been given a Torah and we're expected to observe the Torah's teachings. And if one violates it, so he is deserving of destruction and no hope. But we have three psukim that the Gemara will cite that gives us a basis in even though we do sin. The first Chad, Tichtiv Asher HaReosi, where the Almighty acknowledges, I am the cause of their going astray. So how can you blame a person, so to speak? V'chad, Tichtiv Hine, Kechomer B'yadi Yotzer, Kenatem B'yodi, Beis Yisrael. As clay is in the hands of the potterer, so too you are in my hands. In other words, I can form you in any way I like. There is a Rashi at the top, Ilmole Shosh Mikros Halalu, Shemeidim Shesh Bial Kodesh Boruch Hu Lesaken Yitzrein Lohasir Yetzer Hora Mimenu. These three psukim indicate that it's in the hands of the Kodesh Boruch Hu to form us and remove the Yetzer Hora from us if he should so desire. A third pasuk indicating this is V'chad Dichti V'hasirois Yisleif Ho'evim Mipsachim V'nasati Lochem Leiv Basar, that the day will come that I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. Rav Popa Omar Mehocha. Rav Popa suggests the following: V'esruchi etein b'kirbechem v'asisi es asher b'chukai teilechu. I will put my spirit in you, and then you will follow my teachings. So we see here these psukim. Now we had numbered three because the pasuk said shalosh mikros, but Rav Papa represents in fact a fourth pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the cause or is responsible in a manner of speaking for our being sinful. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.